Hey, it's the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I'm Vessel.
And I'm Camille Veronica.
And it is Friday!
Woohoo!
Wow, we made it.
Yes.
To another Friday.
Yes.
Yeah. Another day that's labeled another Friday, so that's great. How you feeling over there?
I am feeling great. Thank you for asking. This morning, I went out. I always try to do my morning walk outside, but this morning, I went outside to a little local beach area, and I walked. Please know that it is nothing like a beach in Miami, but hey.
I was about to say, there's a is it called a beach or a lake?
It's actually called, it's called Bluebell Beach. It's a very small.
That's the ice cream. I'm just saying. You see,
this is what happens when you live in Miami for more than 5 years. Y'all think that there's only one beach in the world, and it ain't anyplace else but in Miami. Okay.
Nonetheless,
it was nice to be outside. I was walking with my older sister and my cousin, who's really like my sister also, because she's older than me by 4 months, and I like everybody to know that she is older than me. And we went walking, and it was a different energy. It was a different energy. Wow. And I'm just feeding off that energy. And I want to just say, if you have not taken time to appreciate the nature around you, please do so, because it will change your perspective on just day-to-day operations. And I'm just grateful.
Nature is experiencing some things during this pandemic too. People don't realize. I think nature might be a little bit excited, because it's been less pollution. The air they've been able to breathe, they don't know how to act. Nature doesn't know how to react.
I'm telling you.
Like, you know, it's like, we haven't seen nothing like this in Adam and Eve.
Look, I know this much. The squirrels up here are way nicer than they used to be. Oh, yeah. Way nicer.
Yeah, they coming through on nature.
Right.
Everybody says as a point of understanding. Did you check in? I have not checked in, so I'm guilty. I have not checked in with my niece and nephew, or the king.
Let me just tell you now, niece especially is noticing a lack of contact with you and feeling it. Yeah. So I said, well, you know how to reach out and find a brother. So, because she was like, you know, texting is not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yes. Okay. But I just got off the phone with said king. Talked to your niece this morning. Text your nephew as well. So they are all breathing. Oh.
Is the other young prince still in the house?
You mean the one that's not invited? Oh, sorry, like, no longer welcome? Yes. All the refugees are accounted for.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so, okay. You know, my grandfather used to say fish and company stink after 3 days. He was never one for a long visit.
I'm using it. Stay on your terms. Baby, when I tell you I want to bring this up. So what are we talking
tell
about?
Tell me.
We are talking about this. So in this pandemic, and we said this, we repeated it. We said that there's some things that are going to come to the float. Some things are going to be, you know, those of you all who are not used to being in the house with your significant other for a long period of time are learning some things about yourself, as well as the things you don't like about the person that you've been dating, right? Some things are coming out, you know, not just dating. Some of you are married and realizing this is it, you know. And I think because people didn't understand how important space was or space is, right? You kind of renegotiate space because this is my best friend. We love each other. You don't realize how important the time away really does help to strengthen your ability to maintain when you are in each other's presence. So some things have come up. And so I want to just come to a conversation around the partnerships in relationship. Partnerships in relationships, we have a contractual agreement. And where does this come from? I'm going to tell you. I have this notion that I recite a lot. I adopted it out of a long conversation in my psych class at Bethune-Cookman while I was there. And we had this very, very in-depth conversation. We were talking about, we were used, at that time it was the DSM-4. And then it turned to DSM-5. It's been, you know, now. So, but we have this very long conversation. It is a book that psychiatrists and psychologists use to diagnose and treat or to deal with illnesses. So anything dealing with the mental, it is the Bible for the psych community. And so we were particularly having a conversation around the understanding of what is called, you know, what is considered like avoidance. Mm-hmm. You know, we were dealing with like avoidingly attachments, like attached, like people who avoid commitment and who avoid, and where are you know, you have the anxiously attached and you have the avoidantly attached, right? So those were, we were having that conversation. And I was trying to depict where I was. I'm always trying to figure out, where do I fit in this spectrum, right? I'm somewhere in here. I know I'm not that much of an alien that I don't fit somewhere. And in that, I realized my challenge with in the relationships that I had previously been involved with, I had a fear of the breach of commitment. I had a fear of the cheating wasn't the factor. Well, let me say this. The cheating of physical wasn't the factor. Because at that time, I still had not been engaging in proper sex. So I wasn't there. Oh, did I lose you? Oh, no. Come back. Are you still there? I think I lost you. Oh, I hope not. Oh, I heard all the static and I don't hear it. Are you there? Oh, we're going to come back on, guys. We got to come back on. We'll just add this to. So we're going to take a commercial break. And we. All right. We lost you.
Yeah, I dropped my phone.
You physically dropped it?
Well, yeah, I have my head. Cord's better with the headphones. And I must have hit my cord or something. And I dropped my phone. And it was still recording. And I'm like plugging back in, telling you, like, I can hear you. Okay.
But I couldn't hear you.
Yes.
Well, we just took a commercial break because we're back now, yeah, guys. So,
never separated. So, okay.
Not at all. We're not going to even miss a beat. Boom, boom, boom. So while I'm trying to figure out where I am in the spectrum, I'm analyzing what my previous relationships have been and what's been, I guess you can call the hangups, right? And where I landed was, you know, my challenge with the fear of the breach of commitment, and not from a being cheated on from a sexual standpoint, but it was really the emotional vacancy, the emotional abandonment of that. So I kind of put myself in the space, and so we were talking, and I realized that I am more suited to having. And in that and in that conversation, we started talking about, well, you know, relationships are give and take, and you know, I mean, we this was a heated, you know, conversation, and I love my Black people because we have really adopted some piss poor practices and what we believe is okay and acceptable, and what's not okay and acceptable, right? We've literally said that if you don't live life according to these standards, you're not normal. and that's what they were saying. So you got to give the give and take. And I just happened, and I just told one of my friends, who at that time she was my friend still, and she still is. But I told her, you know, I'm just, and I was dating her friend at the time that we were having this conversation. Lord have mercy. And I was like, I'm just not for compromising my life for a partnership or a relationship. Could we just be more in a collaborative? Could we just be more in a connection? Like, why does it have to be that I have to give up this, right? Why can't I bring all of this that I got going on? Why can't I bring all of that? And then we just, you know, we build on the best parts, right? We build on the best. you take my bad credit and we build it and make it good credit, right? You take my bad credit and you focus on my good cleaning skills. You know, you take this and you do that, right? And so as a result of that, I think where what has happened to me, even now that I am, I told you I was courting. Did I tell y'all?
Yes. Well, you told me. I do believe you told the larger audience. Yes.
So in this courting, I have been learning how to, what's the best word? The best way to describe it is what I just recently heard, and probably what prompted this conversation even more, is I cannot control motherfuckers.
Come on. You better say that and put that in parentheses on a t-shirt, okay?
I cannot.
That's the truth. I cannot right there.
Control motherfuckers. What I can control is how the motherfucker impacts me. How I let it deal with me and how I respond to the motherfuckery.
Because there will be some.
Because there is going to be some motherfucker, right? Mm-hmm. And so I get that. And in that, it brings me back to that day in class of understanding what I need from a partnership. And I want our listeners, and this I'm circling right back around, because our listeners need to understand that I want our listeners to understand, one, there's not just one way to be in a relationship with somebody. I want to say it's time out for that. I want to say we need to stop thinking that this is the Bible and the book of that, right? Of relationships. Mm-hmm. There are multifaceted ways that you can be in relationships, you know, dyadic. You know, spaces, you know, where things that occur outside of the relationship and how those things happen and what you commit to, right? What's good for you may not very well be good for your friends, your good girlfriends, right? Your good girlfriends may not be interested in your, and I bring this word, you know, you having consensual non-monogamy, right? That CI, we've talked about, you know, CNM before, or we've talked about polyamorous. We've talked about a lot of the ways that people engage their lives, practice, especially when it comes around bringing other people in. And a lot of people may not be good for that. And it is easy for somebody to say, oh, but monogamy is the way. That's the only way. Monogamy is the way and the only way, just like college is for you and only for you, right? It may not be for everybody else. And for you to assume that you have to go the same route somebody else went to meet your success is frivolous. It's not being honest with self, right? It's not, and quite frankly, the reason why some of us have not found our personal partner is because we're trying to use the standards of something else that doesn't suit, right? You're trying to find him or her in the same way that these people have said you find him or her. That is not working. And for those that have not adjusted, and for those that have not come to the new reality of finding partners and people is really internet. I mean, that's not my stilo, right? I don't think I do very well with dating online. Because online seems like online. You're lying to me, you know. Until I see you, until I get into your space, all you're doing is lying online. Lying online. You know, that's what I get from that. But it's new ways of doing things. And so I want us to think about the opportunities of partnering with people and creating a contractual agreement with that, right? And what that, and the reason why I say you have to do the contractual agreement, one, because it engages everybody. The joy about having a contract that is, for anybody who knows the legal or deals with contracts, the bearer of burden of a contract is really based on the person who writes the contract. So that means there needs to be a way out of the contract. If you drew the contract up, then you hold the much of the burden of that contract is existing upon you, the person who drew and drew up the contract. I feel like in a relationship, in a partnership, we draw this contract up together. So if we say that we are committed to a relationship that allows us to talk about people who we find attractive, right? Yeah, I you feel like there's no harm, you know, and you saying, wow, she's a pretty woman. You know, that's a, I like, she's sexy, you know? And then you can engage in what we now have conversations about, you know, being sex positive, you know, being very comfortable and confident about how you discuss sex and sexuality and things like that. And so you can go into those things. That's part of that. If it isn't something, then you need to make that part of your contract. You cannot talk to coworkers that are females outside of a particular time of day or hour, right? If that, you know, those are certain things about yourself. But again, it comes back to understanding you as the person and what you're bringing into this partnership and business. How is your partnership, your marriage, which I see it as a partnership. I really do see you and the king as a partnership. You know, I think married people don't include partner, because partners kind of now become synonymous with those people that are gay and lesbian and fall within that long list of alphabet letters. Mm-hmm. They typically use the term partner. Mm-hmm. And so, that's who I've notably known to be using that term. So, but what I feel partner is a all-inclusive practice of saying that we are in this together. Mm-hmm. Marriage says that, but I feel like the way marriage and being somebody who has married and been married or is married and still married. Okay, we're not going to do that. But but I feel like that is more of like that is certificate. Partnership is more active, if that makes sense. Go ahead.
You said if that makes sense. And if it don't,
it may not. It, you know, hey, this is what we going on right now.
Well, I would like to just duly note for historical purposes.
This is 2020.
Thank you. That on this past Sunday, my husband and I made 19. We are now in the 19th year of marriage.
Oh, yay!
Yep.
Is there this our anniversary? I was about to say.
Okay. you know we don't know the words to the song.
No, we don't. Yeah.
We've done that one before. Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
And thank you so much. Thank you so much. And
you're made.
And
we're still together.
So far. Now, do know that this year also was the 60th anniversary for my mother and father of their wedding anniversary.
Wow.
So I'm looking more towards, I want to get to that point, but I'm celebrating where I am right now.
Yep.
And by celebrating, I do mean more along the lines of acknowledging the journey.
Celebrating. Yeah. There's levels of celebrating. Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So while you will rarely hear me make a big deal about our anniversary, not because it's not important, but because we early on kind of established that we know we married. If my husband came up with, you know, like, here are two tickets to Tahiti and I'm a whisk you away, I would go. I would be surprised, though, because we typically have days like, hey, okay. And then we're okay. The reason I'm putting this for historical purposes is because, you know, I want it to be said that I'm speaking from my experience of 19 years. Mm-hmm. And I have come to the conclusion of a couple of different things. And some of them, yes, had to do with being married to this particular man. And some of them just have to do with my life journey. Mm-hmm. Both of us coming from strong religious traditions, mm-hmm. and finding ways to, you know, come together in that and, you know, trying to honor each other's differences along with celebrating our likenesses in terms of beliefs and all has been probably the easier thing for us to do than some of the other things that we had to come up with or understand each other with. In that, I think from this point forward, people, anybody listen to this at any point in time, within the best of your ability, define what you want for your relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. what my parents were capable of doing is miraculous as far as I'm concerned. Because I look at both of my parents, and although separately they are lovely people, together sometimes they got on my nerve. So I was just like, ugh, I didn't marry you though. Y'all married each other.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And even though you have religious practices, you have cultural, you know, expectations, you have traditions, it is not to choke you to a point that you can't enjoy the person that you have committed to being with. Mm-hmm. So I think in all that we're doing, especially in this time of change and everything, begin to define for yourself. And when you define for yourself, you may want to keep it to yourself.
Wow.
Because everybody ain't ready.
Wow.
Everybody ain't ready for the level of understanding.
You are not ready for their response.
And you don't need it. That's the thing.
Damn it. I mean, darn it. No, it's Friday. Damn it.
you don't need it. Because see, that's what deters you from thinking you're doing the right thing is the outside voices that have not invested in what you're putting into.
Yes.
See, so easily my girlfriend could come in and say, you gonna let him just sit there and not respond to you? Not understanding that the way it works is I say what I need to say to him and I walk away, giving him time to think about what he wants to say.
Right, right.
And then he says what he needs to say. And it's not a fight.
Right.
It's just the way we operate together.
Right.
She, on the other hand, is microwave. She needed, look, I put this thing in Hot Pockets. It's supposed to be ready in a minute and 30 seconds, you know? And she said, you know, you're the only person I know that could do that. She said, cause I would be driving this man crazy. I know you hear me. Are you not going to answer? Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I knew from the beginning. Okay. And look, and my husband was clear to say, you are quick to answer. Not everybody does that. Mm-hmm. You're not going to rush me to give you a response.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now if I'm in a hurry,
all right.
Okay. All right. Then I know, look here, this one Negro, you might not get a quick response from.
Right.
Now, mind you, of course, if there's an emergency, he ain't going to stand there talking about, I need 20 minutes to decipher what I'm going to do next. But my day-to-day operation of stuff is merely just to like brief him on what he needs to know from my end of the world. And then I keep on going. And at some point or another, he gives me what I need to know. No problem. So you know, everybody's not ready. Mm. And if you don't have, if I don't explain that to you, then you can look at what we're doing. That don't make no sense.
Yep.
I wouldn't be, you don't need to be in on that, y'all.
Yep. Yep.
And all the more reason, the other reason you don't need to be on it, because more than likely you need to be worried about your relationship.
My God.
I'm gonna just tell you that.
That helps people understand why sometimes it is vital that you only engage in understanding how to get over certain humps and hurdles in your relationship with the person that you in humps and hurdles with.
Yeah.
Because when you engage the outside, you get a vast array of opinions, but they are only based on your side of the conversation.
Come on with
and
that
so because
there.
You are really, and it's not with ill will or malice. It is because they're at beck into your ear and they're at beck into your practices. And so you have, unless that other person, and even when that other person is in the room, there's still a timeline that a therapist is not able to totally grapple with. What a therapist ends up doing is years of experience give them another hindsight into the conversation, right? But outside of that, they're stuck when you're doing independent therapy. Their independent therapy practices, and I learned this. I'm telling you, I need to go ahead and go ahead and get the PhD. And
I don't know why you.
But I mean, the therapy is really, when you're an individual, it's about you. It's about impacting the change that's necessary to make you a better vessel for what is pouring into you and pouring out of you. Not necessarily for you to be able to go back and diagnose the person that you're having the issue with. That's not where we at.
Ooh, you better say
That's not where we at. And your friends who are unaware of those abilities will end up giving you information that you think you now have ammunition to go back into your relationship and say what I said and do what I said and put you at a plane. It don't work. Listen.
Well, here's the other thing too.
The contract between you and the person that you doing the rodeo with.
Right. The thing that I think we get lost, and I'll say I've gotten lost in the past when I was in a very rocky spot with my husband. I confided in two people that knew him from back home. You know, they've known him. One, as a matter of fact, was my maid of honor. So, you know, it's not like these were strangers to who he is, and culturally and traditionally, they knew him, right? Okay.
Right.
However, it still was an unnecessary gripe session. I mean, looking back on it now, if I had a way to change, I would change. I would not have them conversations. I wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. And they were, like you said, no malice. And, you know, one friend would give me one advice of like, you need to stop complaining and you need to start doing. The other one would be like, can you imagine? Can you imagine? You know, so I was getting both sides. The thing about it is, though, those were really just to make me feel better.
Yeah.
That I'm, look at how I'm suffering. Look at what this man's doing to me. And not really things that I could step back and say, but hold up. You ain't the easiest to live with.
Mm-hmm.
As delightful as I like to think I am.
Which you are.
I am, for most part. Thank you. Mm-hmm. However,
there we go. Okay.
There is that moment where even I have to take a break from me and say, you know what? Enough. Yep. Shut up and sit your behind down, because you don't need to be complaining right now, or whatever the issue is. And I think a lot of times whether we create a contract, whether we have an unspoken, whatever it is, when we get to that rough part in the relationship, a lot of times we run for the spaces to vent, and we don't take that time to realize that really any problem that you have is you. It is not the other person. Now, the other person got work to do as well.
Yeah.
But the only thing, because I think the comment was what you can't control.
Yeah.
The only thing you can do is, in this situation, I don't like these things, or I don't understand them, or I want us to work towards this. Okay, now what am I willing to do in this situation? What am I capable of doing right now? What can I let go of? Or what can I bring into it so that we begin to look at it like, how can we solve a situation, or how can we enhance a situation? And because we are inundated with stuff from the outside, like videos and music and all these things that are so unrealistic that you almost forget that there may have been somebody, and I pray you got somebody with wisdom, who's standing by telling you, honey, do this, don't do that. But also saying, make a decision for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, that you glean some wisdom in the process of saying, wait a minute, how does somebody stay together 60 years? How does somebody stay together 30 years? How does somebody stay together 20 years? You know, when people want to see how an education system is working, they go study it.
Yeah.
Don't study somebody who's broke.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Broke and want, and like, if we say money and you want to be rich, you know, don't study somebody who stayed divorced because they've married 10 times and couldn't stay with any of their partners. Study somebody who's working on their relationship. Yep. There's something that allows people to stay together for a time period. And I believe part of that is allowing some stuff just not to come in. I'm grateful to my parents, and especially my mother, that when I was going through some mess, and I called her because that's my natural thing to call my mother, and she said, well, I pray you work that out.
That was a good one.
dropped the microphone. Yep. My mother not once said, well, do we need to come down there? Do we need to call him? Do we need to? She said, I pray you work that out.
Yep.
I'm sure God has a solution for you. I mean, those are the kinds of, that's the way my mother advises her children. There's no, I'm gonna come fix that for you. Because here's the thing. When I said I wanted to marry this man, she said, just tell me, can you see yourself waking up next to him every day for the rest of your life? Because that's what the commitment is.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's how she saw it. That's how she saw that commitment.
That's how somebody she saw that.
Not seeing that commitment. They're only
seeing And that's totally okay. And that's totally okay. Yep. But this also comes with back to my thing about define for yourself.
Yes.
So like my mother said, that's the contract. What you will tolerate or what you are willing to bear is yours. They don't have nothing to do with me and your father. Yep. That's yours.
Yep.
And we have to give ourselves permission to define our relationships, whether they be intimate or not, to define and speak to it. Speak to it in a way so that this is a positive experience for everyone and not just you the only one happy and over here, I'm over in the corner with my arms crossed and kissing my teeth.
Yeah. I feel like it was very drowning to some people to see the response of Kobe Bryant's wife. I can't think of her name right now. It escapes me. But when they went through that publicly, what said her name? You said it?
Oh, no. I thought I lost you for a minute. I heard you say Kobe Bryant and then I didn't hear.
Yeah, I can't remember his wife's name right now. It escaped me. But but when they went through that very public situation with the, you know, infidelity, right? Mm-hmm. And people were just like, how could you be back with him? And they were, I mean, now granted, they have such a huge audience of people in, you know, I couldn't imagine having even, I think there was social media around that time, right? But still, I couldn't imagine being at that level in my Dirty Laundry being there. Or just take Beats by Drake. I mean, Dr. Dre. Going through divorce in public, right? The amount of inserts when the contract, when those people have not read the contract, when those people, that's why you got boardroom meetings. And boardroom meetings, I call them bedroom meetings. Those are my bedroom meetings. My children, you were not part of the contract. You were not part of the initial engaging of the contract. You were added on. You were an addendum to this contract. So when I need you to come is when I invite, but the contract conversation happens. And I think that is then another situation that we could talk about on another episode when the bedroom board meetings are not working the way the contract or you're not able to negotiate under those circumstances. And I think we always need to understand that we should constantly be revisiting the contract because things change, right? Technology comes into play. So the way the way you probably negotiated your beginning contract about, you know, certain things, you might now need to insert social media activities, you know, as being a concern or being available because, but those weren't in the initial, right? Because we didn't have those around. So things change and revisiting that contract is also very helpful for you all to understand what you bring to the table. I knew you would have something to say about this. Didn't I tell you this was up?
You did. I didn't know I was going to have nothing to say, but I'm glad I did.
And you had.
I hate being left out of the conversation.
Never left out of the conversation. never you left out of the conversation. I'm so happy. Listen, I know this is a lot, V-Spot listeners. And again, this all drops in on the word vulnerable, right? This all drops in because all of this takes you to be very vulnerable. One, not to follow the social norms, to draw up your own contract between you and your partner, to set your own grounds, and then to be honest about how they make you feel and when you need to go back and renegotiate what has already been established. This is a partnership for me. It's a partnership for me, and I hope as we all continue to learn, that we all continue to grow and we continue to learn and we continue to grow. This has been the V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow. I'm Vessel.
And I'm Camille Veronica.
And we're super duper excited that you decided to stop in and check in with us on this Friday. Have a good one.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The V-Spot, your vulnerable space to grow with Vessel and Camille Veronica. We appreciate you listening and hope you'll follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You'll find us at The V-Spot Radio. If you want to send us an email, email us at vspotradio@gmail.com. We love to hear from you and we love your feedback. Please let us know of topics that you're interested in hearing from us. Thank you.